Hey guys, my name's Charlie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are the Holiday Bros, and you're listening to the Holiday Bros Podcast.
Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros.
Good tidings to you, Kevin, and to the listeners out there. This is the Holiday Bros Podcast, and on today's episode, we are going to be discussing
November Christmas.
November Christmas was released on November 28th, 2010.
You know, that was probably, you completely overlooked the fact that that was probably our best ever intro.
I was thinking maybe if I just, I didn't want to jinx it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, but we're not saying it again. We can't jinx it.
That's right. So this episode, or this Christmas special, if you will, came out of the blue. This is episode number 11 of the Holiday Bros Podcast, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we are recording this on
November 19th, 2017.
And I don't know how to say the name of the person this was written by, but I'll spell it and then I'll see how you would say it. It's P-N-E-N-A-H. Would that just be Nena?
P-N-E-N-A-H. A-H.
I'm going to say Nena.
Yeah, probably, because, you know, like a pneumatic tool, you don't pronounce the P.
Yeah, pneumatic. So this was written by Nena Goldstein and Greg Kappa? Kappa? I'll say Kappa.
I thought you were going to say Nicotero.
No. It is Sunday night.
It is. It was also directed by Robert Harmon.
Now, what made you pick this one? How'd this one come about? I need to know. The name of it makes you, it just screams Hallmark.
Remember I kept telling you for like two podcasts, don't look into this at all.
Right, and I didn't. I stayed away until yesterday afternoon.
Well, something that surprised me is, yesterday, you admitted you're a regular Hallmark fan.
Oh, I've been watching them all this year. I've seen every one so far. Okay. I'm waiting for next week.
Do you actually watch them, or are they in the background?
Oh, no, both. I'll watch an episode, like a movie once, but then if it's on in the background, I don't change it.
Yeah, well, the thing about every Hallmark movie, especially the holiday ones, is that within the first minute, you already know who's falling in love and who hates each other.
Yeah,
or who's falling out of love to meet somebody, especially when a man and a woman accidentally bump into each other.
Oh, yeah. That's the best, and like paperwork goes flying or coffee.
And then you're on your knees and you keep looking down the shirt at the bra, and then you realize you're just watching the movie Big.
Yep. A Christmas classic. And then I always keep seeing commercials, though, on Hallmark that go watch the other Hallmark channel for other movies. I haven't tuned over yet.
Well, we don't have that channel.
Yeah, the other one, it just says it's for more suspenseful and I don't remember what the wording they use is, but I haven't tuned into the other one yet.
Well,
I'm kind of afraid to go over there.
Here's the funny thing is that my wife loves Hallmark. It's on all the time, especially on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Lifetime fan, and they contradict Hallmark in the word. It is literally like the anti-Hallmark.
It's true.
Like, you know, watching all these, you know, like, you know, what teacher is seducing her student this week, and like,
yeah, it's very adult over there at Lifetime.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of watching porn, but you could get away with it.
Yep.
But
this movie was only ever a Hallmark Channel movie.
Correct. And what's unique about it, at least in my mind, is that, all right, Hallmark, yeah, you have a lot of the same, you know, D-list celebrities always doing this stuff. Once in a Blue Moon, you have, which I still don't, you know, like Candace Cameron Bure is on there.
Her movie comes out next week, by the way.
Yeah, well, Danica McKellar is another one on there. What's her name from Mean Girls? Lacey Chabert. And I see Rachel Lee Cook is appearing in a couple as well, which she just doesn't look like she did from She's All That. But this one was odd in the sense that it starred Sam Elliott. And mm-hmm. when I mentioned that name for the first, like the one time, like my mother-in-law was like, "Ooh, I love him." Like the older ladies swoon over him. But Sam Elliott, who's been in a million things, who played Jess Sanford. John Corbett, who I've always been a fan of. I always like John Corbett. He's an actor, but he's also a country music artist too, who played Tom Marks. Sarah Paulson, who I recently saw in Game Change, and
every episode of American Horror Story.
Yeah, well, that too. And Emily Allen Lind, which I think this was one of her first things, and she played Vanessa, the little girl, in it. So I think what made this unique is that, again, there's, you know, I'm not going to say huge, huge name people, but, you know, Sam Elliott, John Corbett, and even Sarah Paulson, they've all been in a heck of a lot of stuff, and it just doesn't seem like Hallmark to fish those people for one of their movies.
I wonder, see, in my mind, though, I'm thinking this is 7 years ago, so what was Hallmark 2010 looking like?
No different. It was still back-to-back crap. It was just every weekend was, but that's the thing. Like now, like it was what I think they would say, like you got 8 new movies a year, maybe usually from November through December. But now they like advertise a minimum of like 15 new ones.
Oh, I think this year on Hallmark, they're advertising 40. I think we talked about it once before.
Oh, maybe it is. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
40 some new holiday movies,
which means they're probably playing them in the afternoon as well. The new ones only ever came on from 8 to 10 on Saturdays.
No, these things are running all day long.
Well, no, the Hallmark movies always did. Now, but they would only have the new ones on from 8 to 10. Now, what's weird is that they still keep that weird talk show on from, what is it, 9 to 11 or something, that Home and Family. That's the only time they completely take the movies off. And but to answer your question, I remember when I first saw it, like Aaron was gone somewhere. This is when we were still in the townhouse. And I think she was gone for the weekend. I don't know what I was. Oh, maybe I was painting the bedroom. So she was in Detroit. And there's just nothing on. I needed some background noise. And I don't know about you, but when you watch, to me, either a Hallmark movie or QVC, I feel like I'm not alone.
Yeah, I could put QVC on all day. I used to be like that with Seinfeld. I would put Seinfeld on every night when Mary was working and I was making dinner. Seinfeld would just be on while I was making dinner, eating dinner, doing dishes. Like, that was just on background noise. I loved it. Now, I used to watch it
every night before bed, one episode to give myself a laugh, and then I go to sleep.
But yeah, I was a QVC guy. I would always have that on too. But Carrie can't stand when I keep that on now. I don't know why.
I'll tell you. I mean, it's disgusting to even think that this is my life now, but like on a Sunday after, even though it's on, comes on Saturday, I always DVR this old house, and that's what I watch on Sunday when I get up with my cup of coffee.
And then Carrie, I kind of laugh at Kevin on that show. He always acts stupid.
Well, I see they finally, you know, trusting him with a hammer.
Well, that's because he looks like he's been hitting the gym lately too.
I hate the gardener on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, back to your Sunday routine. So
I lounge around for a little bit, maybe shower at that moment, but then come 12 o'clock in the kitchen with David's on, and then that's usually on for like 4 hours straight.
Yep.
And it's just, I don't know, a lot of the food is amazing on that show sometimes, but it's just weird. It's one of those things that, you know, if you're ever nervous, just put on QVC and you'll feel okay. But with this movie, I wanted some background noise. I put it on, and I like John Corbett. And I was like, let me see what this is all about. So, like, while I was painting, I had it on, and it seemed like it was okay. And then there are definitely some good feels within that movie as far as the stuff that gives me some triggers, like the pies and the coffee and the eating. I don't know, just some weird shit that will give me a good feeling. But the overall plot of this movie is that there's a little girl who has cancer, and a lot of the movie is just, you know, the family dealing with this and trying to figure things out. It takes place in August, which you're thinking November, Christmas, but it all adds up by the end. But it's just the family trying to deal with it and everything, and seeing some hardships, seeing her struggle, and just meeting some people along the way. And oh, by the way, that town at the very beginning, when she's an adult, it starts off with her as an adult. Well, maybe late teenager.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that was her. And but I guess you're not supposed to know that at first. But again, Hallmark, you
just,
can figure
just
it out.
Do that right away, though, just because like she's sitting there reading a story, and I think right away she said it was about her, like right in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, maybe. But when she stops at the middle of the road and takes a picture of that little town, that's why I said to Aaron, I go, I want to live in a place like that, where there's like one church, couple houses and stuff, maybe a few stores, and that's about it. I want to live at that diner where they all eat.
Doesn't say, give it one more year, and Mono City's the place for you to live.
That is true. But that diner, I always wanted to have my own place. And I thought when I came down here, I thought it was gonna. This is trashy. I thought my own place was gonna be a VFW. But there's no. You're allowed to smoke in all those, and I wouldn't be able to stand coming home smelling like that all the time. Like, yeah. I literally pictured me like saying, "All right, Aaron, I'm going off to the VFW. I'll see you later."
Gotta go.
But I would like to have my own place, like at that little diner.
Yeah. Yeah, I always picture a place where the guys go for coffee.
Yeah, that's I mean, pick I... like look at Uncle Iona.
Yeah, the office.
Yeah, going to the office.
Yeah, there's nowhere good around here to do that, though.
No, we tried, but
so yeah, Carrie said the same thing about that town. She enjoyed the way that town looked.
Yeah, it was nice. Now, did she ever see this movie before?
No, she knows of it, but she never saw it until last night.
All right. Was she laughing and asking why the hell I picked that movie?
No, she couldn't understand why you picked it or or what we're going to talk about.
I think it was just because it had the word November in it. I thought I was clever for a second when I picked that back last February.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit it. It's not like your typical Hallmark movie. It has all the tropes and everything of a Hallmark movie, but it is different from the rest of them.
Yeah, because it's not a love story for once.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does the things where it just punches you in the heartstrings, gives you a couple of jabs.
Now, did you think of anything with Jess's, again, Sam Elliott, but that other guy, you know, that from the diner? Yeah, like the older guy that he didn't talk to for all those years. Did you think something was up when he walked in the diner for the first time carrying the eggs and they kind of gave each other that look? You know how directors will do that stuff to, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I really thought anything about it. I was just picturing. I would just try to like build all the characters up in my head, so I know who's all playing, if you will. One thing about that guy though was funny. Like, I might have dozed off for like 2 minutes or something, but then when I woke up, like, they were just like in a bedroom singing songs with his feet overhanging. I was like, what the hell's going on?
Well, that's another thing where they had that dinner. Look, they were going to get the pumpkins, and the best is when they went up to the bedroom. They quick looked at the bunk, and it showed a shot of the empty bunk bed, and they looked at each other. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great.
Steve were over by a good 2 feet.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Sam Elliott makes everything, the food, the coffee, everything look delicious. Even in that one, you know, when they're at that house getting the pumpkins, they're like, you know, Mr. Sanford and blah, 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 you know, you guys are going to stay for dinner. He's like, never turned down a free meal yet. And, sitting in there wiping his mustache with the napkin every bite.
What do you want for dessert tonight?
Just you. And a fruit pie.
He's definitely a grizzled man. He's like, there's something about him. I told Carrie his face. He just looks like he's made out of a wallet.
That's a good explanation, I would say.
Mr. Sanford was my dad. Call me Jess.
The funny thing is, like, you just talked about the way he is with food. The very first thing in my notes is the beginning scene where Sam Elliott is in the barn and his wife comes in with the coffee.
Yeah.
When she hands it to him. I'm going to read my notes word for word. When his wife hands him the coffee, it's like an 80s Folgers coffee commercial. Oh, it's like, that just sums up any coffee commercial from the 80s where they just sit there. He just holds the mug with two hands. He takes a nice thick sip out of it. Like, you could tell everything's just hearty with that guy.
The steam coming up from the cup. Yep.
It's just like everything that guy does is just hearty.
Yeah, I bet I could edit that. And then just as that goes on, I could slow the video down and just put on the best part of waking up.
And just have him, like, he'll take a sip out of it, and then he does a nice exhale.
Well, no, I think the best sound would be at the very end when he hugged her as the adult again. Did he hear the noise that he made? Just like, I could just take that audio and put it. I think I might do this now.
That'll be a bonus for the listeners if you listen to the very end. You're going to put it at the end of the show. He's definitely a good actor, but he just has a... Like, if you had to describe what you think he would smell like, what do you think it would be?
Oh,
like, I just picture, like, a pine. I don't know why.
A pine box.
Yeah. He's like pine tar or something.
I hate pine tar.
Did you ever go into like one of those stores? I think it's called there's one up in the shops at Montage Hearth and.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Whatever those sticks that they sell there for your fireplace that have that scent into my picture, he would just smell like that.
I picture a mixture of Stetson and maybe a skin bracer.
Yeah, he's 80s. I love him.
Well, that's,
it's a TV show on Netflix, but I don't watch it.
I want to see, and I have it too. I just never watched it yet, but that new movie he was in, Hero.
I don't know if I've seen it.
I have it on the server.
So I had just a couple of another note at the beginning. Well, I don't know if it was right at the beginning, but when the dad was on his flip phone,
mm-hmm.
It was such a big flip phone, but it was in like one of those leather cases. Like I used to have one. I had a flip phone that was like that, but the leather case, just picture like when you flip the phone open, that part's plastic and it slides into it. And then the rest of it's there that comes up the back and there's a little bit of plastic on the sides to hold it.
Oh, God. And the earpiece is just, there's a bunch of holes in the leather.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to think. The movie came out in 2010, mm-hmm. and the whole movie is in the past. So you figure when she is reading the book, that's 2010. So smartphones are out. So I forgot how old she was there, but you figure it's what, about maybe 6-year difference?
She was in the movie because it was 15 years earlier.
Oh, yeah, that was it, 15. Oh, and how old was she in the movie?
I want to say she was probably, what, 7 or 8?
Yeah, maybe. Yes. All right. So, yeah, she was in her early 20s then, I guess.
One other thing, though, that speaking of, like, time frames, that made me – I don't know why I never really noticed this in movies before, but in this one when they were –
Oh, wait. So that means that was in 1995?
If it was 2010. If it was supposed to be 2010, then, yeah, 15 years earlier.
See, 10 years ago doesn't even seem like 2007 when you think about it, but –
Yeah, I know.
1995, no one was using flip phones then.
Yeah, they were. No, they were using car bagged phones.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. This movie's fake.
Yeah, now I'm not buying it. I was picturing like 2001 or 2002.
Next thing you're going to tell me they shaved her head.
No, they didn't. I paid attention to the makeup.
Yeah, so did I. And then one other thing that I don't know why I noticed it in this movie, and I never really noticed it in other movies. When she was driving to the... I don't remember who was driving. If it was her when she was driving to go work at the coffee shop or when she was going to go read at the bookstore. Either way, I was looking for window stickers on the car, on the front window dates, and I couldn't find any. And then I noticed on every car there's no window stickers. So that one, it leads me to think, I want to look at all TV shows and movies and see if there's no stickers on the windows and cars, on the windshield.
Well, unless they don't mind, unless you're specifically supposed to know the time in there. Or the time and date, they probably try to remove any timestamps.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know why I never really noticed that before in movies.
As long as it's not that horrible one where, like, they put the stickers in the middle of the windshield.
Yeah, that sucks.
It goes right through me.
I'm trying to think. One of the other notes, when there was the one scene where they were at, like, the beach place, and there was just when she was, like... little, yeah, and there was a lighthouse in the background, and they were flying a kite. Remember that?
I just kept picturing her tripping.
Okay, well, this is what I was picturing. Like, when they pan back and they just showed the end of that scene, you saw the lighthouse, and they were flying the kite and everything.
Yeah.
There's one other thing in that scene. Now, when you're flying a kite, what do they tell you to do? Usually just go into an open field somewhere, an open area.
Yeah.
They were flying the kite right under a power line that was going to the lighthouse.
Maybe it wasn't supposed to be in the shot.
It was the only other thing in the shot. It was connected to the lighthouse. It was just one power line coming out of nowhere to the lighthouse, and that they were right under it flying the kite.
Well, if you notice, you never saw where they're... Like, you saw them running, but you never saw their feet, which makes me believe... Because I'm looking at this place, it looked like such rough terrain, and I'm like, they would not put this little girl at risk running like that. I said, I'm thinking there had to be like a completely flat surface there or something.
She was just on a football field.
Yeah, for them to run on. I don't know why I was thinking about those things within it as well. But so the whole thing is that what Tom, the father, is trying, he stops by, get some vegetables and everything. The girl's home from her last chemo. And going to get some vegetables, stops by Sam's little stand and starts talking a little bit. And after everything going on with his daughter, he realizes, you don't he doesn't outwardly say it, but he kind of realizes that he wants to give his daughter as many of the upcoming holidays as possible, because he's not really sure if she's going to make it or not. So again, this is in August, and he comes by the vegetable stand to Sam Elliott's stand, and asks if he had any pumpkins available.
Got a lot of squash. Got some nice zucchini.
And again, that Sam Elliott can make a pumpkin sound delicious.
Oh yeah.
<It's> like, there ain't no pumpkins this way. About until what, middle of October, and all right, which they're out a lot earlier than that. But
see, now before you were saying that you don't have any audio clips for this episode. These would be perfect audio clips. Just
that is true. I didn't even...
All you need is him talking, just to get the point across. Because I know what you're saying. I understand what you mean. Like, he can make things seem more substantial than the normal person.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, then if I have a little time today, since we're doing this earlier, then I'll put in some of these sound clips, which will completely negate what Charlie and I were just saying, because to you, you're hearing the clips. And so, yes, right now, as I'm recording, I don't have any sound clips. So if you do hear anything, it was all done in post.
Nobody around here is going to have any pumpkins until the first part of October. Been too cool and dry this summer. Maybe down New York, New Jersey, but not around here.
And now, I also got a, well, I got a good feeling later on when they... did the whole hayride, and the music that you heard at the beginning, that was the music that they played during it, which I think is like the only song in that whole movie. Because yeah, when you look at the credits, it's the only thing that appears.
It seemed like it was a 10-minute song.
I think it was.
Like when I heard that song, I was like, "This is very what's her name? What If God Was One of Us?" Song.
Oh, Joan Osborne.
Yeah, I was like, this kind of has like a Joan Osborne-y type feeling to it.
The name of the artist is Kate Rusby or Rusby.
One other thing I was thinking though, like when I'm watching this movie, why is this guy just friends with everyone whose kids died? It's like everybody's in this town's kids dead.
Well, no. His buddy, the older guy. You're talking about Sam Elliott's character.
Yeah, Jeff. His kid.
Yeah, that guy kid. that the when you know when they're driving, he's like, "You lost it. I wasn't there for you." And yeah. that was the guy's wife.
That old dog sure sleeps a lot. Well, he's got a thyroid problem.
So when? Oh yeah, that's true.
Because remember, then he starts, you know, playing footsie or something with that woman at dinner.
Yeah,
and then proposes to her like a week later.
How did you think? Did you think that Sam's kid? I don't remember his character name. Sorry.
Call me Jess.
But do you think that
Sam's kid was Stevie?
Okay, but I meant Sam's character's name.
Oh,
his name.
Oh, Jess Sanford.
Okay, so how did you were you thinking that his kid died from cancer as well, until they revealed how he actually died?
Yeah, because I mean, I guess that's the only thing you could put on. Aaron thought that the kid drowned. I was like, where the hell did you get that from?
Yeah, I thought it was cancer because like he's like right away he's like the only thing that would make you think that it wasn't that was he's like, I wish I would have known and been able to do this kind of stuff for Stevie, right? Yeah. But then on top of it, he was also like, I know what he's doing. Like he knew everything. Like he's like, he's moving everything up. So like you would think that he like kind of went through that or, you know, had a little more insight. That's why I think his kid died from cancer, but then it turns out it was just a car accident.
Yeah, well, I like how you turn Jess Sanford into Jesse Ventura with that voice.
Yeah.
I know what he's doing. And he's working with the Illuminati. but yeah, so he realizes that Tom Marks, the father, is trying to move up time, so he's looking for pumpkins early in August.
Came back again today looking for pumpkins. In August. That's odd.
Then he even came back a week or so later looking to tag a Christmas tree.
No, we don't tag trees till mid-November. Sort of like hanging on to these long summer days. If I could stop time, I'd stop it right now.
And that's where that whole dinner scene took place with him with his wife. And just made that pot roast and everything look great because she had all those extra pumpkins, so she made like a million pies.
Now, I do have a question about the pumpkins. Later on, when they ended up having the pumpkin or the Halloween party at the house, What was up with the pumpkin on the table? It was like a huge jack-o'-lantern, right?
Yeah.
But it looked like it was made out of Play-Doh. Like, they had hundreds of pumpkins. That should be a real pumpkin. But it was honestly like... It looked like it was made out of Play-Doh for some reason. You got to go back and watch just that scene, just to look at the pumpkin. It's at the table where they're sitting there. I'm trying to think if they were, when they were deciding, I think it was at the day of the party, but just look at the dining room table.
Well, what I, and again, I, you, you know, it's a movie. I'm, you know, dividing hairs here, but, or splitting hairs here. The other girl that's in the movie that we didn't even talk about, the waitress who was, you know, all is connected. Like, she brings all those kids over. Where, like, where the hell did she get those kids?
Doesn't she read at the library?
Oh, yeah, good call. That's probably, yeah, all right.
So they're probably all from there.
Because they all know the girl, then. Yeah, that probably makes sense, then. And then, I don't get it. She wanted to be, what the hell did she want to be? And then she ends up being a turtle.
No, she wanted to be a turtle, but the mom didn't want her to be. The mom wanted her to be something else, and she said, I want to be a turtle. So I just imagine them painting her head like a shell. That's the first thing. See, sometimes, like, when I watch
like turtles.
Like, I'm a jerk. Like, the first thing I thought of was I would just paint her head like a shell and call it quits just because she had a little bald head. But
because Gordon wanted to be Batman again.
Yeah, what the heck? What did, because she wanted to be, I'm trying to think what
Gordon
she wanted.
Was a pirate then, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like that's all the prop department had. You can't get licensing fees for Batman. You can't be him.
So, and all those, here's what I don't get either. Like, all right, the girl's dying.
Mm-hmm.
What made Sam Elliott?
Call me Jess.
What made Jess think that he wouldn't have Halloween decorations?
Well, because like, that's not where they live. They're only up there for the doctors or something, right? They don't live there.
I thought they do live there.
No, because at the end of the movie, don't they go back home? Like, they're because they're saying, well, you got to take her back home. You guys go back home. Like, they don't live in that town.
All right, so apparently I just watched the movie for Sam Elliott to eat and don't pay attention to any of the details in these things.
Yeah, from what I remember a day ago when I watched it, the girl is there in that town because she's there seeing doctors for her treatment. Then when they're told her to go home and you're going to try treatments again, like, she's going to go back to their house. Like, they're not, that's not where they live.
Yeah, but the whole house was already, I mean, they're already established.
Look, I think you're going to watch this movie again now tomorrow. When you're getting out some audio clips, you'll have to watch the beginning when they're driving there. Because the whole beginning, like, they're in the car driving there. Because they're driving from their house to go there. That's where they're going to live while she's getting their treatments.
It's probably when I got up to go pee. All right. Well, then that would make a little bit more sense. And I always wondered. Now, when he was coming down the steps, though, because obviously that was Stevie's room, like, the look of disgust that his wife gave her.
First of all, those steps were disgusting. There was no sides on them. It looks like he made them out of some scrap wood that he had.
That wouldn't handle code.
He shuffled around the house in socks that were a little too big in the toe, and they were a thick sock.
All right,
everything about this guy just screams thick. Like
that mustache is thick too.
He's got a thick sock. It's like those thick, dinky winter socks or something.
I picture him in a red and black flannel eating flapjacks in a cabin.
Do it. And you enjoy being there.
Oh yeah, and he would call them flapjacks too, just like just like that cartoon with the boss from on Christmas Vacation. Oh, hey, Flapjack. Ever watch that cartoon?
No.
It's great. Griswold. You know that guy. But yeah, just the way this Sam guy carries himself, I love it. He wears the tight, skinny, thin jean with a big, bushy sock.
Oh. I think that's his, like, kind of like Bob Newhart is his, the same character in everything that he does. I think Sam Elliott just has the same look in everything he does.
Did you watch any of that show that he's on Netflix?
No.
Me either. I'm not an Ashton Kutcher guy, so I don't think I could watch it.
I might have to fire up an episode just to see.
Go for it. The other thing, though, when he was up in the attic digging around, at first I didn't realize he was going up there for Halloween decorations. I thought when he went up there and he just, like, got a box, I was like, well, there's his kid. I don't know why I'm thinking this stuff. Like,
well, it makes sense because the wife even says, Jess, what are you doing?
Yeah. She's pretty upset about it.
Don't worry. It's not his things.
I was going to say, I guess they just have his stuff up in the attic, you know.
I would assume it's like one of the things that you lose your child and then the room just doesn't get touched.
See, I don't know.
The bed is made and
I would just have to move. I couldn't do that. I'd hate it. But yeah, he goes up in the attic. That's another reason why they don't have any friends there, because they don't live there. That's why they get everyone else to come and go to the party. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but even, I mean, I guess then the backstory was they've been there already for a while. That's why they're established in the house. Because, like, Jess even says, you know, that I haven't seen you in a couple months, Tom. Then all of a sudden I see you three times in 1 week or in the same week. So, all right, I'll have to listen to that beginning part again just to double check.
All right, so then one other, like, disgusting thought that I had. Like, so the whole time they're bumping up all the holidays for the daughter, for, you know, for the kid, mm-hmm. the whole time the they're just sitting there thinking that she's going to die. So that's why they bump up the holidays. So in my head, I was thinking, how disgusting would this be for that little girl, like, to just sit there thinking, like, you know, she's supposed to be having a great time at these parties, but really in her head, she's just thinking, I'm only having this party because they think I'm going to die. Like, I don't know why I think stuff like that, but that's all I can think of.
One, I don't think a kid at her age could comprehend what death is. And two, even with that, I mean, I would think that they would just be like, you know, my parents are trying to, you know, make things more exciting. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know the way that I am. Like, I you know, when I was little, like, just knowing school was coming around the corner, to me, that was worse than death, I think. And I would just try to convince myself that everything was going to be okay, but never was.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think the bumping up the holidays, like, they had all the pumpkins on the porch. You know, how many do you think were there? A couple hundred dumped on the front porch?
No, not a couple hundred. I would say maybe 50.
Oh, I was thinking a couple hundred.
No, because half of them were huge.
I know, but it went around the corner and went back. It filled up the side of the porch.
No, I think that was the end of the porch.
Oh, I thought it went back.
No, I don't think they have a wraparound on that, where that section was.
Yeah.
So they end up becoming, and I mean, it all kind of makes sense. And, you know, they become friends, then kind of at least a little bit closer with Jess and everything. He even makes shaving look good. That skin, that leather wallet that he was shaving. I mean,
I'm telling you.
I know what Tom's doing. That little girl of his is sick.
Yeah, and at first you didn't know, like, did you know, like, the part where he explained to the other guy that his kid died, was that after he got the Halloween decorations, right? Yeah, it had to have been.
Yeah, because they got the Christmas pumpkins. Tree. They went up there for the pumpkins.
Right, okay. So we knew as viewers, so I guess then that guy would have, see, no, here's the thing, though. They act like they're buddies, but yet he doesn't know that he had a kid that was dead, that he had to explain it to him later.
He didn't explain to him later.
Yeah, he did, because when they were sitting in the barn, there were some old metal toys there. And he goes, those your toys? And he goes, no, those were Stevie's, my son. And then they told him the story about Stevie.
No, because on the ride up to get the pumpkins when they were going to the farm, because it was tense. They haven't talked in years, but he was willing to help them out. So they're sitting in the pickup truck, not talking.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about the girl's dad.
Oh, wait, all right, so, he was telling Tom about that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, how would they know?
That's
well,
what I'm
according
saying.
To you, what you're saying is that they haven't lived there that long.
Yeah, they're only there, they don't live there, they're just there. But that's what I'm saying, like, I had it confused. I was thinking that they were friends before that, because you were saying, I haven't seen you around, and...
No, I think it was just a customer.
Gotcha. So they were just a customer that he knew, and then they're... Yeah, I got it.
I think it's a small town, so even when they came up the first time, I mean, Jess addressed him as Tom. He already knew his name, but I think it was just, you know, like anything else. Hey, Big Chocolate. Hey, Mr. Vanilla. Hey, Four Ears of Corn. How you doing?
Like, the way that he always acted, though, like, I don't know, there was just something about the acting. Like, it wasn't, he seemed, like, very nosy. Like, picture when he was in the house, he's like, there used to be a fireplace over here, whatever he was saying, like, just random stuff. Like, he just seems very nosy. And then when he goes into the kitchen to take the phone call saying about the bloodlets being, or the blood platelets being low or whatever, he just, like, creeps around the corner and, like, gets right in on the phone call. Like, he should just stay out in that other room and eat his food.
Yeah, but he was holding a cup of coffee, so that's all I paid attention to.
But he gets right up in there, right next to the button. He's on the phone.
I just I just picture, and again, I know the actors. That's why I keep saying the regular name, which I normally don't, but John Corbett. I just keep picturing, like, Tom peeks around the corner and sees Jess standing there. So he walks up the steps, and then Jess takes it upon himself to keep looking through this old house, and just he follows him up the steps.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But I thought his English sound, I mean, just the way it comes out, I think it, his English was right. But, you know, when he was telling his wife after he got done shaving and wiping his face off, just when he's like, that little girl of theirs is sick. Like, it just seemed very hillbilly-ish of him. And he was wearing a wife beater. And
yeah, man, this movie, I'm telling you, I just, the whole time, like, I'm thinking, well, like, I don't remember at what point I realized that that was her. That kind of ruins then the movie for you, because you're like, well, obviously she didn't die. She's around to read this story. I can't remember at what part I realized, though, or I knew it. I think it was early on.
The first minute. Because you said, but it was about her.
Yeah, she did say it. But now, so they have a Halloween party. A bunch of kids come. You know, they have a good time at the house. Everyone's having a ball. Then, did they do anything for Thanksgiving?
No, but it was weird, because when they... when the pumpkins were on the porch, and then they told the kids to go change, and then the Tom and Beth's the mother, they're on the porch, and you know, he's asking, you know, she's asking him, why are all these pumpkins here? And he mentions it, and then she's like, well, you don't believe that she's going to make it, like, almost like a shock to her. And he was like, what's the problem with giving our child, you know, happiness? And, you know, he's like, I would love to, you know, give her Halloween, and then the next holiday, you know, and then let's give her as many holidays as we can. Like, and the next one, and then I thought he was going to say, and then Christmas. I thought they were going to completely just ignore the word Thanksgiving. But he does say the next one and the next one. He says Halloween first, but then he says the next one and the next one. And as many as we could give her for however long that is. So I picture January being Easter.
One other thing that bugged me about her brother. What was his name?
Gordon.
Oh, yeah, Gordo. Gordon always acted like his sister was dead every time he crept into a scene, scaring the shit out of his parents.
Oh, yeah, like the one at the top of the steps.
Yeah, I wanted to punch that kid in the face.
Well, now, here's the thing. You didn't see this for the first time. So when he's calling them and they don't answer, and he goes to the steps, and Gordon's up there, and he just goes, Dad. Now, what did you think before? Like,
I'm telling you, I thought that he saw his sister and she was dead. Said he's always acting like his sister's dead in the room.
See, they could have gone into that a little bit better. I hated that the next, like, it was like, Dad, and then he gets that worried look, runs up the stairs, and then the
next
scene
thinks, too, is great, my daughter's dead.
Yeah, no, but the next scene, it's almost like it's like going from something so somber to like traffic in New York City. It's just they're shaking the thermometer and just like 100 and blah blah blah. I told you she's pushing it too much. Like that's all it was. She had a fever.
Yeah, because he did that a couple times, too. There was another time he went into the room, and he just stood there and stared at his dad. But gave him that, oh, my sister's dead look.
That's because he the two of them were all about, they cared more about the dog than anything. Do you remember the dog's name?
Oh.
It had a human name.
No, I can't think of it.
Stanley.
Oh, Stanley, that's right. Yeah, it just made me mad. That little kid just always acted like his sister was dead. Hated it.
Well, I like that at the end, too. They had it. Well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, anybody could figure out that Gordon, that was the adult Gordon, but
trust me, I told Carrie the same thing. Here's the way the movie ended. Well, at the end, like when they all go back and they all pick out another Christmas tree, they make it a tradition. Everybody looks the same except for Gordon.
Yep.
Okay. Obviously, the characters are all the same, so they're going to look the same. They didn't age at all. And then all of a sudden, when she goes to give her a hug, if you're a sister and your brother's sitting there, you don't just go, hi, Gordon. The only reason she did this, so people go, oh, that's right, that's Gordon when he's big, because he was the same person. Only he said the name, so I was laughing at that.
Well, I said that to, oh, then Aaron, I mean, Aaron's seen this movie before, but even she just goes, huh, none of them aged. But it is great. She's like, let's get a whatever she says. And then another great Sam Elliott line with the, you're late. Christmas comes in November around here.
You're late. Christmas comes in November around here.
Yeah, so they made it a tradition. What they did was, well, he got together a whole big hayride and a whole, you know, they made a whole day out of going to the tree farm to pick out a tree.
To tag it. So, and again, you got to realize this is still August.
Right. So they went and tagged it, got all that taken care of, and then they made it a tradition then every year to go back and get another tree. So that's how it ended. They came back 15 years later.
Now, didn't you, with the ending scene, she drives to the Christmas tree farm.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is like the epitome. I want to be in that type of environment, like where it's the middle of the night, but it's a dark blue, probably from some full moon action going on with the snow reflecting. But like, I just pictured when she pulled up to the car and gets out, you could see all the trees behind her.
Mm-hmm.
I just pictured disappearing into those trees and having a good old time drinking some cocoa and decorating a tree. Like, I don't know. Like, that just gave me such a great feeling. And you could tell it was all green screen shit, but just, I don't know. I love that. I always picture like Santa flying around and
The blue light of a moon. Yeah. Like when the sky looks blue at night.
Santa flying around in the middle of the woods. Like even when in Frosty the Snowman, when they're in the middle of the woods right before he takes off and the magician comes to get him. Like that whole, I don't know why. I always like that. I want to be there. I should actually. I could do it behind me. Though the rotoscoping would be a pain in the butt. She didn't die,
which is good. I did get a little teared up at one moment, though. I don't know if you got teared up at any point in this movie, but the one moment where
Sam took a sip of that water.
No, the part where she was driving back and all the houses were lit up with Christmas and they go into the town and the whole town was decorated. Mm-hmm. And then she sees the house. She was like, she was so excited. She got all teary eyed herself.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have tickled my fan. Now, what I didn't like, though, is that Gordon was trying to make it all about him. He was waving everybody, too.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
Well, though, Jess's wife was enjoying it because it felt like having Stevie back.
Yeah. Yeah, you could tell at that point she was like, yeah, just let him. He can stay here whenever you guys need to. We could, we'll put him to work.
Because she had to go back to the hospital for some more treatments and everything. Now, even Aaron said jokingly, but I know it's giving a kid props and kudos, even when something sucks. But her art skills were not that great.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think. How old was she supposed to be again in the movie?
I don't know. We'll say 8.
All right. I mean, for an 8-year-old, it was not bad. But you could tell it was all drawn by
the princess lines. Was drawn on top of a line. You could see the horse's back through the princess.
Yeah, I know. That was the unicorn. One thing I was thinking. Like, that was the only one where you didn't see legs, too. So you could that's another reason why you could tell it was drawn by different people. Because some of the pictures, the things had legs.
Mm-hmm.
And some people draw things with legs. Some people draw them without. Like when you're a kid drawing like that. So you could tell it was drawn by different people.
But not even that. But the very first time is like when she turned around. They're in the diner. Turns around and sees that other girl there. Mm-hmm. And the girl's saying she's trying to write her book, about a possum. And she's like, I've only ever seen one possum, but I think I remember. And then she just draws, like, one curve. And the girl's like, wow, you're really good.
Yeah, better than I can do.
Like, come on. But again, when you saw that girl drawing, when she was sitting in the woods and she was drawing that family there with the one guy that looked like Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
And, it was just like a... It was like a curve. It looked like Beavis and Butthead.
I know what I. This was the exact same thing I said to Carrie. You ready?
Huh.
Stick to the writing, toots. Because the drawing looked like shit.
And I don't know. Maybe that was the point. Like, is that she's supposed to write, and then Vanessa.
Yeah.
Which I don't even think we even mentioned her name, but the little girl's name's Vanessa. That Vanessa should have drawn everything. So I mean, even the. Where is it? I guess the only part that, if I had to say if there's any teary-eyed moment, again, I didn't get teary-eyed, but I guess if there's any somber moment, I would say is that when he went to go, see the priest, and,
I gotta say something about the priest, right, too.
And, which he reminds me of somebody, and, I think maybe the principal from, The Wonder Years, but anyway,
Bundy.
Yeah, exactly. But when he went there and he was like, hey, your morning prayers, could you say one for Tom's little girl? And, he's like, but Jess, your prayers have just as much weight as mine do. It's like, me and God haven't seen eye to eye, or whatever, and
yeah,
whatever it is. And the priest is like, he's never stopped listening, Jess.
Yeah. Been a long time since I was one of his regulars.
God knows you, Jess. And he never stopped listening.
Yep. Now, so here's my thought on that priest. Before he even opened his mouth, I just pictured him going, oh, hi, diddly-doo. And then as soon as he talked, he had the Irish voice going on. Because I never even saw that guy before. But just the way he was there in the church. Because it was funny, because there's a little, was it a boy or girl? Someone in there just wiping down the pews. Boy. And then Sam just comes in and goes, what'd he do?
Well, there was one moment that late, it was near the, you know, kind of near the end when they were starting to do everything. Remember when he went, it was one of the last, not last, but one of the final scenes in the diner where, like, he's in and he was talking about, like, them, you know, they're watching Gordon, everything. He's like, it's been really good for whatever his wife's name is.
Yeah.
You know, we're glad to have him. And the priest then, like, the guy that he went to with the pumpkins with, his friend, like, he's like, hey, whatever we need to do. And then the owner of the diner's like, hey, if they need meals or anything, you know, let me know. And then it's a shot of the priest, you know, with everyone behind him looking up, you know, at him. And it's a shot of the priest. And the priest is like, it's really good what you're doing, Jess.
Yep.
And he's like, thanks. And, like, they're all looking around. Like, I got such a Wayne's World feeling when they're in the coffee shop. And
I got a whole, like, horror movie, like, join us type of a feel from that scene. Because, like, every eye in that place was on him. And everyone was just shaking their head in, like, acknowledgement.
Well, again, I think that was supposed to be, like, a small town community and whatnot. Everybody knows everybody. But now I literally was waiting for Garth to stand up and go, you go get Cassandra, we'll do the rest.
Yeah, that moment was a weird one. We're going to pause for one of our first commercial breaks here, though, first, and then we'll be right back.
You will win this.
The Target 2-day sale starts Friday, November 26th at 4 a.m. Are you ready?
All right, we're back. I know that's a weird one to play for on here, but I had to play it because I don't know if you remember the Target lady commercials from 2010. She's a comedian. I can't remember what her name is, but she's a famous comedian. But those commercials were the most ridiculous things ever. Like, that one was kind of like a whole workout montage where she's sitting there, like, wrapping things and throwing them off of the table. She's, like, lifting up buckets of ornaments. She's running through Target with a parachute on her back, just, like, running. She's in a tracksuit. It's the most ridiculous commercials ever. But I used to love those. They only lasted, I think, 1 year, and then the next year they never came back. Can't remember why. Those are fun, though.
I don't think I remember any of them.
You really don't remember Target lady commercials?
No.
Oh, man, look them up and watch them. There's some ridiculous funny ones.
The only thing I remember is RuPaul saying, get a tech vest.
No, after we're done recording, just type in Target lady commercials. You'll see them. They're all coming up. They were great, though, because they were all, like, she's sitting there marking down the calendar till the date. She's lifting just ridiculous stuff for weights. Good commercial. I can't think of her name, though. She's a comedian. And
it was the same person the whole time?
Yeah, it was always her. She did a bunch of them that year. So I don't know if you want me to go right into our second commercial. This one's a bit ridiculous one. It's a little bit of a longer one, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show. Or if we want to give our final thoughts on the episode, then we'll do a commercial, and then we'll do our stuff at the end here. How about we do that? So what's your if you had to pick a character, I think I know who you're going to be. But who would you be in this movie? If you
I am him. Do you see the mustache on my face?
I do.
Well, then again, though, you got to think about it. That means I lost my son, though, too.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you want to go in that route. But I try to, and I know it's supposed to be them in that world. We discussed that back in the Claymation Easter episode. Like, you know, could it just be that in this world, but it has to be them in their world? God. So, you know what? I'm going to say Tom Marks, because my family's all fine and I'm friends with Jess Sanford.
There you go. You get to visit him on the farm.
Yeah. Like, why try to be him when I could experience him from the outside?
That's true. Because if you were him, you'd be all up in your head. You wouldn't be able to do stuff as cool because you would just be thinking, what's my next move?
Yeah, exactly. How many pies did my wife make?
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a tough call. I want to be somebody that lives in the town. Like,
should be the owner of the diner.
I was going to say, well, no, because
fries looked amazing.
Yeah. I think I would be the girl that worked there just because I don't know why. She gets to experience that town. And I don't think anything really bad ever happened to her that we know of.
She gave me like an Avril Lavigne meets, from Charmed or the Return to Oz, whatever that actress was.
I can't think of.
She didn't seem like she belonged in a Hallmark movie.
Right. Yeah. She was a little on the
Lifetime style.
Yeah. she's fit in the Lifetime one. So yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. Yeah, I don't know. It was a good movie, though. It definitely wasn't a Hallmark movie that I was expecting.
No, but definitely different in that aspect. I want to know what happened with her, though. The one you became. Everybody else, you could kind of assume what happened.
Yeah, that one, it just kind of trailed off on her story.
The last scene with her was when she visited Vanessa at the hospital, and then she said she had to go back to work, and then she ran around the corner and just, you know, was about to sob. Yeah. And that was her last scene.
Yeah.
So maybe she's still at the hospital crying right now.
It's possible. Maybe she just works there now. She didn't want to leave.
But actually, she quit acting, and that's her in this in this hospital set.
Yeah. So I don't know if we really wrapped up the story here. I mean, we talked about how it ended, but, you know, everyone's fine.
Yeah. Well, again, this is a little non-traditional for a normal type review. Just because, I mean, I guess it shouldn't be non-traditional. It's a movie. A movie's a movie, but any Hallmark fans out there, it's very predictable.
I don't see it on Hallmark. I didn't see it
been on every year. I haven't seen it on this year. I purposely scoured the channel for it. I don't know why I own it, but purposely scoured the channels looking for it, and it wasn't on there at all. So
there was one other thing I wanted to mention.
Next week, though.
One other part that was a little, not really a tearjerker, but kind of just, I just like kicked my feet up in the air and I said something out loud. So the whole time she was given this little snow globe when she was, well, not when she was little, but back, you know, 15 years earlier when she was little.
Yeah, something to say about that too.
Okay, so in the snow globe is a girl in there holding a snow globe, holding a snow globe, holding a snow globe, and so on. So she was just sitting there wondering how many times that goes in, you know, like how many snow globes are in there. And
one
later on in the movie, she looks out her window and it's snowing out there and she just like runs outside. She's got the snow globe in hand. And when she's out there, she's wearing the same outfit as
the
girl.
Yeah, that was my issue.
The snow globe in the snow globe. Yeah, that's the same thing. I kicked my feet up in the air and I go, and she's wearing the same stuff. And I got all, cause I had her curious, like how many times, like, is this a reality or are we just in a snow globe of somebody snow globe? And that's what she was thinking. And that's what happened. So it really makes you think, is this a reality or is she just in a snow globe?
No, it's definitely a reality. Otherwise, we wouldn't have that age.
Well, I'm saying, like, that was her thought. She was trying to figure out how many times it goes in there. She even said it. She just, the one part in the movie she had said, like, I wonder if we're just in a snow, if we're in somebody else's snow globe.
Oh, well.
When she was wearing the same outfit as a girl in the snow globe, it really just connected everything there.
And then we'll see, they could do a crossover with Lifetime where it zooms out then at the final scene, but then it's Sam Elliott, an evil version of him holding a snow globe laughing.
Did you ever see Krampus?
No, I have it. I never saw it yet, though.
All right. That won't spoil anything.
It's probably on a snow globe. That's Sam Elliott's Krampus.
So was that your thing about it? She was wearing the same outfit?
Yeah, I was just, that pissed me off. I was like, there's no way.
No, that's why she was, because that was her thought. Because
she's in a snow globe.
Yep. Sorry, I just dropped something. I was looking for it.
And I found it very odd that she had no idea what to do with a snow globe.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I know. Because they're like, you're supposed to shake it.
I mean, I don't know, maybe with kids and tools. No, because that would have been 1995, according to their timeline. Everybody knows what a snow globe was back then. See, now I'm curious on to see what model cars they were driving. He had a Subaru.
Yeah.
And I'm curious now.
Now go back and just try to timestamp stuff and see when things came out and if it would be all...
Because, again,
all
according to what they gave us, it should be 95. Assuming present day was 2010. I guess you can you have to assume that because they don't tell you otherwise. Well,
the movie came out in 2010, so I'm trying to think any of the current stuff. See, that's what I have to do. Look at the current day stuff and see if it looks like 2010.
See, and I don't think they give you enough info.
Probably not. They probably don't. People probably aren't supposed to try to dive into it as much as we are.
No, we're dissecting it too much, but...
Yeah. All right, so our final thoughts. It was good, not a Hallmark movie that I was expecting, but not bad.
Yeah, no, I liked it. Well, yeah, it's because I chose it. No, that shouldn't say anything. I agreed to that damn Charlie Brown Christmas. Didn't like one. But yeah, no, it was good for what it was, and something I could put in my repertoire for November, since it's the only thing I could watch in November, and feel like it's legit because I'm getting the Halloween autumn-y feel along with a tad bit of Christmas. I wouldn't even really consider it a Christmas movie.
No. Just that scene at the end with the snow. So then you're just going to have to watch Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. It should be on TV this week, I think.
I'm sure. I know I've seen that as a kid, but no, we're going to ignore that one.
When Snoopy makes jelly beans and popcorn for Thanksgiving dinner.
Ugh. See, remember and that, that? I mean, we could... That sounds familiar, and we could have done that one, but I'm not... I was going to say, what is this, amateur hour, doing three Charlie Brown things in less than a year?
All right, well, we're going to... This commercial that I'm going to be playing here is a little bit longer, but... Could be worth it. It's a real item, too. Okay?
If it's horrible, I'm cutting it off.
All right. We'll be back.
You love having Thanksgiving dinner with your family and enjoying a second serving of a delicious home-cooked meal. But afterwards, you feel stuck and restricted in your uncomfortable jeans, khakis, or slacks. You try to unbutton your pants for relief, but they're too tight. You're trapped. Stop the frustration and the embarrassment. The solution is here. Introducing Stovetop Thanksgiving Dinner Pants. This is the stuff Thanksgiving is made of and the perfect way to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner in comfort and style. Stovetop Thanksgiving Dinner Pants with their non-patented stuff and stretch waistband allow you to eat in comfort. Based on the same technology used in astronauts' underpants, they can expand to nearly two times their original size. Wow! The upscale styling seems to be imported from Milan or Italy, but these high-fashion dinner pants are designed in the USA and look great on men and women of all ages. Ooh-wee! You could try to make your own stretchy pants, but bags of rubber bands can cost tens of dollars. And unbuttoned pants can result in shameful injury or worse. Oh no! With so many uses, they don't just fashion, they function. Dress your kiddo as a Thanksgiving centerpiece. Aww. Plus, they make great short-term storage for busy hands. Don't spend your hard-earned money on fancy maternity pants. Let Stovetop Thanksgiving Dinner Pants handle that precious bun in the oven. Dine in comfort with limited edition Stovetop Thanksgiving Dinner Pants for just $19.98, delivered right to your door. And if you act now, we'll throw in a set of three Stovetop Holiday Cards. Great for using during the holidays as cards. Don't miss out. Hurry and order your Stovetop Thanksgiving Dinner Pants today.
Are you grasping for straws? That's not real.
No, it is.
No, it isn't.
It is. You could go to their website right now and buy them.
Then it's some type of gag that was never on TV.
Thanksgiving.
Hold on, I gotta. It started again, but no, it's real.
I would have just played the lottery thing or something.
No, it's real. I'm telling you. Go on. I think it's just stovetopstuffingpants.com. You could order them right off of their site.
I just purchased my stuffing today.
But the funny thing about those pants is the elastic waist. Like, they look like maternity pants, but the top part where it's elastic and the interior of the pockets have the design of stuffing on them.
Why not just go naked? That way you don't have to worry about it.
That's true. But no, they're real. You could actually go to their website and buy them.
Now, what do you do for Thanksgiving every year?
We usually just go in the basement and turn the lights off and hide in the house.
Oh.
Yeah, we tell like mom and them and Nick and everyone that we go to Carrie's mom's house, but we just stay home.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought you'd
know.
So you don't go there?
We just stay home.
Yeah.
We don't tell anyone.
It's not that great. I don't know what I do every year. Oh, we switch it because I switch holidays. So... This year, well, last year we went to Nick and Dot's because Aaron wasn't talking to her mom. And then this year would have been our side again. I'm trying to do with friends, a Friendsgiving, and it took place a couple of years ago, and we weren't able to go, and now it seems almost impossible.
Yeah, who had one? Charlie? Charlie does one every year. I've never gone.
No, down this way. Like Brett, Jill, Eck. Bunch of people that you knew at one point in your life. Well, not all, everybody. Maybe none.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they all do it. But,
yeah, so you pretty much have all your Halloween stuff wrapped up. You're all packed away.
Well, not the outside. I didn't take those down yet. Because when I take it down, I'm putting the Christmas stuff right up, and I don't want to be that guy. There's already somebody down the street, they've had their Christmas stuff up for 3 weeks.
Oh, man. Yeah, we have, there were two Christmas trees in windows on my way home yesterday, and two houses have their outside lights on already.
Our neighbor, she puts hers up. She doesn't turn it on, but she puts it up. I think she had it up 2 weeks ago, maybe, or a week and a half. I was debating on doing the stuff on the roof today, but it was so windy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to do that as well, but didn't get around to it. Too cold out.
I don't think I'm
going to
decorate as much, though, this year, because I'm not going to be... I'll be in Philly a couple times, actually, so...
Yeah.
But I'll do what I can, and that's about it. So, I'm sick of, though, the... we could talk more about Christmas when it's Christmas time.
All right. Speaking of upcoming Christmas episodes, we're going to be seeing what we can do for December as well, trying to... I don't know, October, we called that the spooktacular, didn't we? We called that something. We got to come up with something for December.
The Holly Jollies. I don't know.
Yeah, so we're going to try to shoot for the multiple episodes in December again for the, you know, your main holiday treats.
Yeah, we're going to, I think, you know, we're going to, well, one will be a little, not really different. It's still something to watch, but the one will definitely be focused on Trans-Siberian Orchestra and their music. So, you know, we could talk about the thing that we watch, but that could also be music-based as well, which will be a little bit different, but, you know, doing some reviewing.
Yep, so we'll have some holiday treasures for you. We'll call them that for right now. But that'll be in December. This is our November episode, so... Everyone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and if since that we are coming up with that too, with the I produced my own CD years ago, back in 2012 was the copyright, which is called A Solstice Night, and so you can look it up. It's on Google, it's on Amazon, it's on iTunes. However, though, if you're willing to give us any thoughts or, you know, even though we kind of have this month, planned out, but, if you're looking, you know, willing to, help participate and, give us some of your Christmas holiday stories and whatnot, I'll be more than happy to, send you one of the tracks free of charge. And, there's 10 tracks on the CD, so I'll probably, I'll pick one of my liking and, if you do send through an email or anything, I'll reply with a link for you to be able to download it.
And you could also, if you want to actually do a verbal message or get your voice out that we could even play on the show if it's appropriate, you could just use your phone and record a voice memo and email that to us if you want to do that as well. You could email that all to holidaybrospodcast@gmail.com.
Well, completely ignore what he just said. It's theholidaybros@gmail.com. The word podcast is not in there at all.
See, I do other podcasts and I get them all confused because I have that in the other one too.
Well, I'm dedicated to this one.
All right, so then you heard what to do. If you want to record a voice memo or send us an email with your holiday stories,
yes,
you can go at theholidaybros@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at The Holiday Bros.
That's right.
Either or. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, make sure everyone has a good Thanksgiving. Stay safe. Enjoy your time with the families, and we'll be back in December.
And actually, you would have already enjoyed because Thanksgiving's over by the time you're listening to this.
All right. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, Thanksgiving happened. All right. Well, we'll be back in December. Hope everyone stay safe. There you go. For this episode of the Holiday Bros Podcast, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin, here to bid you farewell and happy holiday from the
Holiday Bros.